I don't know, like, I don't know about you. If that was anything that I said applied to you, I just want to ask you to say in your heart, God, I received that today. I wasn't calling things out just because of willy-nilly. I was calling things out because I was seeing it happen, take place. And so if that applies to anyone in this room today, I just ask that you just go, God, I receive that, even though you may not feel it yet, but God's word will never return void. And so we declared it, and it's going to happen. It's just your body's just got to catch up. Your situation's got to catch up to the word of God. So because the word of God's already spoken. Amen? Amen? Okay. We're not a quiet church. We're a very loud one. But how's everybody doing? Everyone all right? I haven't been on the pulpit for 4 weeks. That's how long. It's been great. I don't know about you, but it's been great. I was humming and hawing with God on what to speak about this week. And I love it when I'm humming and hawing with God, because that's the moment where I have to really lean into Him. Like, I have to go, okay, what do you want to say? Because He says a lot of things, and you try to decipher what's now then. Like, sometimes He gives you a couple words. You're like, what applies now? Like, are you telling me for something later? Are you telling me something now? Are you telling me something for somebody else that is not for the church? You know, like, all these things takes place. And so I was just spending time with God yesterday in my office, and I was like, God, can you just be clear? And the title is going to be like a little bit, maybe a little bit weird. Maybe you have heard of it. Maybe you haven't. You might be going, oh, that's pretty dark. But it's a thing, I guess. So can we put the title of the message up today? If you're writing notes this morning, the title of my message is called The Dark Room. Can you say that? The Dark Room. 1, 2, 3. The Dark Room. Does anyone know what, or has ever heard of a photographic dark room? All my oldies are like, yeah, we know what that is. Or the new gen were like, what are you talking about? We don't even know what an iron is. What? No, you guys know what an iron is, eh? Yeah, you do. It was just like this moment that I had with God a few weeks ago, and He spoke to me about the dark room. I was like, a dark room? And so I had to research what the dark room is. And it's a old, like, today you got cameras that just processes photos straight away. But a photographic dark room, there's a process that takes place to even get to a negative, which is those little film things, to even developing it to a photo. There's a huge process involved. A photographic dark room is dedicated space used for processing and printing traditional film photography, traditional way. And so I want to show you some, like this has got nothing to do about this part of it. It's got nothing to do with the Bible. This is just literally what's required to be in a dark room. I want to put the first thing up. They call it the enlarger. Oh, that's what the dark room looks like, okay? Right there. Have you seen it on movies? Yeah? Young ones, yeah? So the first one is called, you'll see an enlarger in the dark room. So an enlarger is a special kind of projector used to create your photographic prints. It enlarges the photo. The second thing that you'll see in a dark room is called a safe light. A safe light converts your dark space into a red lit dark room. You won't see any other color in there, or just be red, a specific color for that dark room. The third thing you'll see in there is called a focus finder. What an instrument. A focus finder is used to help you focus on the enlarger. So you know the enlarger? The focus brings things into focus. Woo! Focus finder. The fourth thing you'll see is dark room trays. They used to hold the developer, stop and fix when printing. So chemicals are in this. And they got to stop the process of it developing, so they use three separate trays to do three different jobs. And the last one you'll see is print tongs, which is self-explanatory, but tongs. Print tongs allow you to move your darkroom paper through the developer to stop and to fix. So it goes from tray to tray. You can't use your hands. There's a specific tool that is used to move the paper from one tree to another. You guys following me? Yeah? Everyone right? Right? So the tools in the dark room are essential because they allow the photographers to develop and improve their image with accuracy, visual control, and fulfilling their creative vision. The photo doesn't have creative vision. The person who has, who's doing the photo has creative vision. And this morning, in just this moment, I want us to picture this dark room. Can we go to the photo of the dark room? Can we picture this dark room? And in this dark room, can you picture yourself as the picture being developed? And we're going to kick off from there. Are you guys all right? So let's close our eyes for a moment. And just like, I'm the picture being developed. I'm the picture being developed. Okay. So picture yourself as the picture being developed in the dark room. Cool. Everyone see? Got that? Cool. So a picture in the dark room is hidden from others. That's the first thing we need to understand. A picture in the dark room is hidden from others because the one who is developing it needs to go through a process to get to the picture they desire. It sounds like God. God hides a person so that he could develop them before he puts them out. And I want to share a story. King David is always a great story, but I'm going to take some aspects of his story. And we're going to go from 1 Samuel 16, verses 10 to 13. And it says this, "And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel." So before this moment, Samuel came to Jesse's house because God called him there to anoint a king. And then verse 10, we're coming from this place here. "And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.'" Verse 11, "Then Samuel said to Jesse, 'All of your, all of your sons here?' And he said, 'There remains yet the youngest. But behold, he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here.' And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and he had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Everyone know this story? So we have the story of David. Like, there's so much thing significant about this. It's got nothing to do with this. But something significant about David is that all the seven sons plus Jesse had to sacrifice an animal before coming to the Lord. David was the only person who didn't have to sacrifice anything to come into the presence of God. There's significance in this because David already sacrificed a lot of things in the field before he even came to Samuel. They had to come to Samuel, and Samuel had to sacrifice an animal before God so that he can come to the presence. But David came straight from the field into God's presence, which shows us something significant about David, that he was always in God's presence. So I want to encourage, if you're in the field, or if you're in parliament, or if you're in the factory, or if you're in somewhere else, let me tell you, you have the ability to carry God's presence wherever you go. Are we all right? So here we have a story of a boy not being recognized by his own family as someone of significance. We have David here, just tending the sheep. And Samuel's like, "Grab your sons, bring them before me, and then God's going to anoint a king." He brings seven of the sons, but left one out. Can you imagine? Like, all the parents in here. Can you imagine, for those who have multiple kids, can you imagine leaving a kid out? Would you do it? Come on, parents, tell me the truth. Is there a kid in your family that you wouldn't bring up? But think about it. Like, it's so weird for a parent to leave somebody out when Samuel called everyone to come forth. It just shows us this picture of like how much they thought of David as just a shepherd boy. Many of us could say that's not right. How can you not recognize your son? But I just want us to stop and look at this. What if David, before the moment, before this moment where he came before Samuel, before this moment, he was put into a dark room, hidden by God, so that before he anointed him, God first developed him on the field? Because last week was Pentecost Sunday, and we talked about the gifts of God, right? And I was like, oh man, I should carry on, talk about the different gifts that God has for us. But I'm like, before the gifts even display, God does something before the gifts being displayed to people. What he does is that he puts people in a dark room. And with David here, we see that he's forgotten about, he's not recognized as anybody, but he's on the field tending the sheep faithfully while his brothers are standing before Samuel and one of them getting anointed. But David being on the field, God chose him. David was around 15 years old when he was anointed king. Everyone following? I want to go to this. We're going to skip from here. So we're going to go from being anointed king, he was forgotten about, God put him in the field, hidden by everybody to be developed. And then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 22. I'm going to skip a few years for David, and we're going to go from verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and his father, all his father's household heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was disconnected gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So in this moment, we have David being anointed a king. Boom. King. And then he plays the harp for Saul, and he does all these amazing things. And then Saul gets jealous of David. And then Saul was trying to kill David, or his intentions was to kill David. And so in 1 Samuel 22, we see this picture of David fleeing because he doesn't want to get killed, and he goes to a cave. Everybody say cave? Cave. Do you notice who is in the cave with him? I want to show you. It's actually quite funny. It's the picture of the church. Can we go to the 1 Samuel 22? No 1 Samuel 22? Oh. So 1 Samuel 22 says this. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And so when his brothers and his father's household heard it, they went down there to him. And listen to this. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and it says that he became the captain of 400 men and more. David fled to this cave to get away from King Saul because he was trying to kill him. Many don't know how long King David was in this cave. I've heard pastors say, oh, he was in the cave for 15 years. I was like, it's not possible because he was appointed king at 30. We don't know how many years he was in this cave. When I was looking back in the papers, they're saying it's either several months or several years. They don't know. So let's just pretend 2 years, okay? So he was there for 2 years. So King David, anointed at 15. 15 years later, appointed as king. Everyone following? Now let's go back to this dark room. 15 years, anointed as king. 30 years old, appointed as king. What's 15 to 30? How many years is that? 15. 15 years in a dark room being developed by God. The one thing I've been seeing a lot is that we all want to be used by God, right? Everyone want to be used by God. Whatever way possible, we just want to be used by God. But before God displays us to the world, he takes us through a dark room process. If you picture a seed, A seed doesn't just magically appear a tree. Where does it go to? A dark room. What's the dark room? The soil buried. What does the seed have to do before it starts sprouting? The seed has to die. Years in a dark room being developed by God. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but if you feel like, God, when's my time? No one in here? When's the moment that you're going to release me to where I need to be called? Can I encourage you or just show you a different picture that maybe you're in a dark room, and in that dark room, God's trying to develop you? I remember a pastor speaking over my life, and he says to me, he's like, Jordan, don't be quick to eat the cheese. He's like doing this mouse analogy. He said, the second mouse eats the cheese. I was like, hey, what do you mean? Because he said, because the first mouse is in a hurry trying to get the cheese, and it gets hit by the trap. So the second mouse comes along, gets the cheese. But I always remember that analogy when he told me about that, when he spoke that over my life. And I'm like, don't be too quick to get out of the dark room or get out to get exposed, because the second mouse eats the cheese. And so I'm trying to paint this picture of this dark room, because I feel like many of us are like going, God, what do you want me to do? Like, it's cool if we preach about the gifts of God and all that, and this heaps in the Word of God where He has given us the gifts from the Spirit of God. But before even that happens, He puts us through a developing process, which many people don't talk about. And the reason why, because we want the gifts but don't want the hard work to get to the gifts. We don't want to be burned and come into this place of refining as fire, you know, as such swordsmiths, how they refine the sword to a perfectness to get refined. And the fire's not pretty, guys. The fire burns, the fire hurts, the hammer hurts, but it's the developing process. And so whether you've been waiting for 2 years for God to speak, whether you've been waiting for 15 years, whether you've been waiting for 20, 30 years, can I encourage us this morning, have you recognized that you're in a dark room? Because if you don't recognize that you're in a dark room, you're always going to be going, God, where are you? Why am I not doing stuff? Where's my call in life? Why haven't I done what you told me when I was a kid? Have you ever thought back and going, am I in a cave like David? Being in this moment in a dark room where you want to develop me. Because in all truthfulness, I want you to hear this. Even though there was 15 years between him being anointed to be King David being appointed, did you know that David could have been king much, much earlier? David could have been king earlier than 30. You may go, you heathen? Where does it say that? It doesn't say it in the Bible, but it tells us a story. And it says in 1 Samuel 24, it talks about when David could have killed Saul. And it talks about how David goes to Saul, Saul, stop listening to your men. Your men telling you that I'm trying to be all this. This is me paraphrasing, okay? But I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. And then in 1 Samuel 22, then 1 Samuel 24, then 1 Samuel 26, is the second time David comes before Saul and says, I could have killed you again, but I'm not going to touch God's anointed. So 1 Samuel 24, 1 Samuel 26, two moments where David could have took the call of being king early. I think I could have done a shortcut too. Have you ever thought about it? Like, there have been moments in your life where you could have shortcut the call of God in your life, but that would mean that you would have to skip the darkroom process. That means you would have to skip the development process. I've noticed throughout this, especially through this time, and this era that we live in, I've noticed people are getting real quick to come into the limelight and come into ministry real quick. And I'm like, where's the development stage in all this? I was called into ministry when I was 10, 11. I'm 31. 20 years later, to come into the core where God showed me. 20 years. And you might be going, oh, but you're still young. But I'm like, there's 20 years. I could have shortcut it ages ago. When I thought about it, I remember when my parents were at Life City. I remember we're going through a phase, and I could have gone to another church and plant there. And then I thought about it when I was writing this message. I was like, God, I am so thankful that I didn't go with my ego. Because I would have skipped the darkroom process. I'm thankful for the 20 years that I sat out of my parents. Because that's the darkroom process for me. Hidden from the world for God to develop. But you know what, with the darkroom is not just a one-time moment. The darkroom is actually seasonal. Because there's moments in your life where God needs to put you back in the darkroom so he can develop you a little bit more. Are we okay? So we have the story of King David, 15 anointed as king, 30 appointed as king, but he could have did stuff in his life to shortcut the call of God in his life. What would have happened if he shortcut it? I have no clue. But I know it wouldn't be as fulfilling as it was if he didn't take the darkroom process. I come to this. We need to be careful that we don't jump at an opportunity that promotes us before our time. You know what? David would have had an internal battle within himself to not kill Saul. Have you ever had an opportunity right in front of you and you knew if you took it, you'll hurt somebody else, but you'll get promoted? Anyone in here? Has anyone thought to hurt somebody else unintentionally, just think about it? Because David had the same battle. He could have gone, I could kill you right now and I could be king. But he chose the cave over kingship. How many of us would choose the dark room over being promoted? It's cool that we want the gifts. It's great. The Bible says to acquire the gifts. You need to like have this fire, this passion to want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But what's the point of the gift if you're not willing to be developed? It's like saying, oh, I want to go to a concert and I want to play the guitar because I'm so amazing. But if compared to like Mona and Caesar and all those other people, developed. Developed. I wasn't going to bring this quote up now, but I think it's important. There's this quote that I heard, and I love it. And it says this, if the light on you is brighter than the light in you, then the light on you will destroy you. Let me say this again. If the light on you is brighter than the light in you, then the light on you will destroy you. Can I say that again? If the light on you is brighter than the light in you, then the light on you will destroy you. You know what happens in the... I want to go away from my notes. You know what happens with a photo when it comes out of a room? There's three things that takes place. I know I'm skipping ahead. Sorry. There's three things that takes place. The first thing is this, an underdeveloped image. Can you see who that is? Take a guess. But you better be certain on that guess. No one? Take a guess. Jesus? Who else? Who's unsure? Saul? It is Jesus. But this is what I'm trying to get to us today. Is that when you take a picture out of the dark room, when it's not fully developed, it becomes underdeveloped picture, meaning it becomes blurry. And I put it like this in Christian's terms. You just start displaying a blurry God. you start displaying a blurry Jesus. Because he's there, but he's not there. We don't know what it is. There's uncertainty to the picture. So there's uncertainty. Oh, is this the call? Is this not the call? Is this the call? Is this not the call? Because you chose it to be underdeveloped. Can we go to the next picture? The second thing that happens to a picture when it comes out, there's stains and blemishes. Who's Christ coming back for? A bride. Without what? Spots, wrinkles, stains or blemishes. I put it like this. There is crap that you have to deal with before you go into your next season. You know what? I love it that God doesn't make us deal with all our problems at once, but he takes it through seasons. So one season, I've got to deal with some crap. Cool. And he's like, Jordan, come back into the dark room because you need to deal with the next thing before you go to the next season. And we wonder why we are so underdeveloped, or we're still going through the same thing of like crap we're going through. It's because we're choosing to get out of the development room before our time. It's cool to want the gifts. Have the heart for the gifts. Be excited to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it comes at a cost to have them. It comes at a cost where you have to lay your life down for Jesus and surrender everything you have to him. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get it perfect. It doesn't mean you're not always going to get it right. It just means, God, if you want me in the dark room, I'll stay in the dark room. But there's a third thing that happens. Can we go to the next photo? There's an increased risk of damage. What happens to a photo when it comes out of a dark room, that it tends to stick to things because it's still wet. So if I have a picture, take it out of a dark room, it'll stick to that, stick to this. But it's also easy to fold and it's also easy to bend. I put it like this. I've got to read this because I always forget how to say this. I put it like this in Christian terms. You'll stick to things that you shouldn't stick to. You'll bend, fold, and tear to things that you could have handled if you stayed in a dark room. And lastly, you will be at risk at hurting not only yourself, but you're at risk at hurting others. I put that risk of hurting others and yourself is because I've seen this in ministry where people are so quick to like, oh, I want to go plant a church. I want to plant this. I want to plant that. And when they plant it, what happens is they make hurting people more hurt. And there's like more disunity because they start sticking to things that they shouldn't stick to. And they start folding and bending to things that they could have handled, but they can't handle because they chose not to develop. A photo, when not in the not fully developed, is risk of damage. I can speak on myself. I can remember growing up as youth, I wanted to be quick to get on stage. I don't know about any other youth, but that was me. I was that guy who wanted to be on stage, seen by everybody. What happened there is that when I had all that, I fell away from God. Like, I love Jesus. Sweet bro, you're good. I love Jesus, but I chose not to develop in the dark room. And so I did all the stuff on stage in front of thousands of youth and blah, 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 blah. But then I fell. You remember I did. I fell hard. Something that I could have handled, I couldn't handle because I didn't stay in the developed room. When we don't stay in the developing room or the dark room and we don't allow God to take the stains and blemishes off, we don't allow God to focus us and put the picture right, the contrast and everything right, what happens is that we become underdeveloped and we're at risk at damaging others. And I can remember that I walked away from God. It was a Saturday night. The Sunday was the day that I was supposed to worship lead at another church for this big conference thingy. But this one moment fell hard. And the only reason why, when looking back, the only reason why I fell hard, because I chose not to stay in the dark room. Because if the light in you on you is not brighter than, if the light on you is brighter than the light that's in you, then the light on you is going to destroy you. It's sad to see in our society today many pastors falling away from the wayside. And I'm talking about pastors, I'm seeing pastors fall on the wayside every week. And this is not just in New Zealand, this is across the world. Mega churches closing their doors because of things happening within their church. And when I look back and I'm just like looking at it, I'm like, God, we chose the limelight over the light that's supposed to be in us. Because you know what? God, the reason why God gives you gifts is to display you. Did you know that? Like, he doesn't hide you like on a lampstand away from everybody underneath a pot, you know? Like, he wants to display you in front of the world, not for your sake, but to show him. But the reason why the world that we live in today, we want to be in the limelight, we're choosing not to be in the dark room. And my heart for this house is that we be people of the dark room. That we'll be people of the soil. That we're not quick to like flourish straight away, but we'll be quickly to put ourselves in the dirt and allow us to be nourished by the Word of God, being nourished by the fellowship of the saints, nourished by having conversations, hard conversations too, and allow everything in our life in the dark room to develop us right. So that when God exposes us, the light that's on us is not brighter than the light that's in us. The reason why a picture gets so destroyed when you come into the normal light is because it's only used to that warm red light, one light. And it's so bright when the photo comes from the dark room to the outside world, the outside world's so bright. But I want to encourage us as a church and as people of God, if you've been waiting for that 15 years like David, can I encourage you? Can you go back to God and go, God, am I in a dark room? Because I can tell you for sure, many people who are waiting for God to move, God's put them in a dark room and they don't even know it. And you know what? Being in a dark room doesn't mean you're punished. It just means God's developing you for a bigger season ahead. Oh, but God, I want to be out there. I want to do that. But God's like, can you come away onto the field? Because before you can own to be king, I want you to own to be a shepherd. Shepherds did the dirty work. Shepherd did the things that the older brothers didn't want to do. All the yuck stuff. But before he became a king of the palace, he ruled his place in the field. That field for David was literally his dark room. The reason why he could kill the Goliath was because of the dark room. What did he do in the dark room? I killed the bear. I killed the lion. It wasn't because everyone saw it. No, because God hit him for this moment to be king. Maybe God's hiding you. Maybe you're going through a season right now. You're like, God, I don't know what I'm called to. I know I'm called to do more than sitting here at church. Can I get amen? Yep, amen. I know I'm here more than just to work my job. I know I'm here for a bigger reason than this. Can I tell you? Are you in the dark room? Because if you are, you need to go to God. Okay, God, what do you want to develop? What do you want to get rid of? My wife knows this. Before we took over being pastors, I was quite harsh. Oh, Darren knows. I was a harsh dude. Like, harsh, harsh, like black and white, harsh. Like, I don't care about any other color, harsh. And and you know what? Going through that process with my wife coming up to when we took over church 2 years ago, like, literally God was taking me through a dark room to really know how to care and love. I cry about everything. I could cry for a beautiful song. Like, you know, like, that's how soft God developed me. Like, I cry when I see somebody in need. I cry for random reasons, just cry. But I put that down to the dark room. Because in me, I was harsh. I know the word of God's black and white. It's this truth and false. You know, like, there's all that. But in me, that I became a judger of others, and I started becoming quite mean. But God took me back to this dark room and just go, Jordan, I need you to work on your heart towards people. Because if I love all, you need to love all. So he took me through a season of that. And now in this moment, he's taking me through another season. I can't tell you the season. I'll tell you once I get over it. I can't. When I'm going through it, I can't tell you. But once I have victory over it, I'll tell you the season. But at this moment, I'm going through another dark room process. And I know it's not because God doesn't like me. I know it's not I'm getting punished. He's just taking me through this dark season or this dark room moment because he's like, Jordan, that's where I want you to be, but you're not ready for that. Maybe someone in here, maybe you're like, God, oh, I feel God calling me to this or calling me to that. Don't be too quick to get in the limelight of that. But come to this place of God. Can you develop me in my dark place or my dark room so that when I come out of that room, the light that's on me is not brighter than the light that's in me. That's the church that God's calling. And before we start talking about the gifts and all this other stuff, we first need to learn what it means to be developed. If David waited 15 years, what's 15 years to us? I waited 20. How long have you waited? Who knows? How long, do you know how many years I've waited? 30. And you know what? God's word does not return void. If he said it, it will come to accomplishment. But many of the times we don't really accomplish it. It's because sometimes we don't recognize we need to get to that dark room and go, God, what do you need to develop in me so I can step out into the call that you have for me? Honor the work that you're in now. Whether you're at the school, whether you're in school, whether you're at an office job, whether you're at a fast food restaurant, whether you play golf every week. Oh, no, that's not you, eh? Whether you're staying home, mom and dad, can I encourage us to honor that place that you're in because God's using that to develop you for a greater season. I remember at Bunnings, I worked for Bunnings 10 years. I got the 10-year thingy. The 10-year thing over there. And I remember I rushed it. True story, me and my wife have been getting married and I just left work because I was like, no, I want to follow the call of God in my life, like go full-time ministry. And then I went into full-time ministry, then we're getting married. And how many of you know you need money when you get married? So what happens was that I left my workplace and then I went back to my workplace to work for another 4 years. Bunnings, for me, was my dark room. 10 years in that dark room, but it developed me to be the person that I am today. And I tried to rush it. But then we got married, and then I had to go back to work because ministry doesn't pay you anything. That's the truth. Like, if you're not a mega church in that ministry, man, whew, they don't pay you anything. And back then, yeah, we definitely didn't get paid for anything. And I remember I went back to work and I was like, God, you told me that I was going to go in full-time ministry. And then I realized I jumped the gun. It was way too early. But it made me realize many of us do that. We jump the gun. Because like, but God, you caught us. But he's like, can you develop first? Because I remember the first 6 years of being in Bunnings, I was a heathen. I was literally a heathen. Doing all the things that you shouldn't be doing. I was that guy. But I remember coming back to that workplace and really dedicating my life to God. God shifted my heart. And that's when people going, Jordan, why is your God different from others? Because you don't talk about hell and brimstones and all that, but everyone tells us we're going to hell, but you say God loves us. I remember $50 notes coming onto the table and going, Jordan, can you please do one swear word for me and I'll give you $50 right now. $100 right now. These are builders. Because they're like, we've never heard you swear. Because I was in my dark room. I was not going to let anybody taint my dark room. I look back now and I'm like, I'm thankful I went back to Bunnings. Because if I could sway over $50, I could sway over anything. Because if the light on you is brighter than the light in you, then the light on you is going to destroy you. Don't be too quick to jump the gun and go, God, you call me here. He's like, yeah, you're a bit ahead of yourself. Come back to development stage. And I just feel like that's for us as a church, that we're in this development stage, in this dark room. Even though people know us, like, that's cool. I'm not worried about that. But I feel like this church is in this dark room, hidden, for such a time to be released to the world. But not to release the world to promote hills and promote all this stuff, but to promote Jesus. And I'm happy to be in the dark room together with you. Because the people that God's developing in this place right now is going to be people who are going to lead that building right there. Can I say that again? The people that are in here being developed in this dark room are going to be the very people they're going to develop people in there. Because if you can stick through the dark room with me, if you can stick through the dark room with the pastors and the leaders, once God releases us, that 30 years is going to be over. That 20 years is going to be over. The very prayer that you've been praying since you were a little girl, a little good boy, is going to be over. Why? Because God's bringing him back. He's like, come back into this dark room. He's going to release. We haven't seen the fullness of God yet. We're only on the edge of what God can do. But I'm appreciating in this moment that God's hidden us away for such a time as this, so that when he exposes us, it's exposing Christ. Not a blurry Christ, but a Christ that points to the Father God. That people wouldn't have to question, are you Catholic? What kind of Christian are you? No, they're going to know. Oh, you're that Christian. That weird Christian. The one that believes in all the other stuff like healing and that. Yes, we're that Christian. But the dark room. Because the light on us shouldn't be the light brighter than the light that's in us. So remember that quote. If the light on you is brighter than the light in you, then the light on you will destroy you. That applies for this house. If the light on us is brighter than the light that's in here, then the light on us will destroy us. But we're called to this city, we're called to this nation, but let's just appreciate this dark room process together. And I pray that as you go throughout this week, that God will speak to you if you're in the old dark room, and that you'll appreciate the dark room process. Trust me, appreciate it. Because once you're exposed, there's no hiding. There's no running away from it. It's there. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. I pray for any person in here that is going through their dark room. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us and make it known to us also if we don't know. I thank you, Lord God, in the dark room, that's where you develop us. That's where you get rid of our gunk and take away our stains and blemishes. We welcome that. And I pray, Lord God, as we are being developed by you in our dark room, let us be thankful for that process. And so, God, Father, we just want to honor you. We just want to thank you that you care for us so much to take us to the dark room to develop us before you take us to the world. I pray for every person that's under the sound of my voice. I pray for blessing. I pray for favor. And I pray, Lord God, just a freshness of your wind to blow upon them as they go throughout this week. May they be conquerors in their sphere of influence. Lord, speak to us. Have your way in us and through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.